Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Westuttle. Let's open God's precious word to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First letter to the church and believers in Corinth. Kit's wife's not too far from Corinth. About how many miles is it from Athens to Corinth by road? Okay. All right. Mark, what happened? Huh? She just decided to club your foot, huh? Keep your foot off my furniture. I told you that. Bam. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and about ready to close down this chapter, but it's been a great chapter on the Holy Spirit. But let's begin with the word of prayer, and the prayer, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to things that He'd have us to see in these closing verses of chapter 2. Let's pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for this book. And we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You would have us to see in these verses that were set before us. It's so important in dealing with the Holy Spirit and with our daily lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we've completed verse 13, and now we're in verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, this helps us to understand the way that we translated verse 13, combining spiritual phenomenon with spiritual beings, which is what the NASV has in the margin. And then to contrast the spiritual man, we have a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? For their foolishness to him. Why? He cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually appraised. Okay. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, from the source of God. We have seen how God the Father sends us the Holy Spirit. We have seen in Galatians how God the Father supplies us with the Holy Spirit. We have seen in Romans how we are given the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. Our having the Holy Spirit, people, is so important to Jesus Christ and God the Father. The great problem is man, number one, doesn't know how to be filled with the Spirit, insists that it must be by works, confession, repentance, or something. Two, a lot of people get involved in the charismatic stuff, speaking in tongues, and act like idiots, sound like idiots, all this kind of thing. That separates them. That causes another group, well, I don't want to be like that, so they don't even want to study the Holy Spirit. They're afraid of Him because they don't want to be like the charismatics. So what Satan has done, he's neutralized two groups effectively. One group overemphasizing the Holy Spirit in the wrong way. Another group afraid of Him, don't want to get involved in all of that. So what we have to do is to understand clearly what the Holy Spirit is and what He's doing inside of us and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God the Father, Jesus Christ, first thing He did was ask the Father to send us the Holy Spirit. And God the Father responded. Now, our having the Holy Spirit then, important to God the Father, important to Jesus Christ, it should be important to us. So it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, we studied the natural man last week. Natural man's in contrast with the spiritual man. The things of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what does this refer? Let's just take that phrase. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Holy Spirit. Now, in context, things that we've been studying all along. Verse 7, the hidden wisdom from God for our glory. That's one of them. Verse 9, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. And then we have things freely given. So, in this study, we have these three categories: hidden wisdom, things that God has prepared, and things that are freely given to us by God. Note again that it's the dependency on the Holy Spirit. Things of the Spirit of God. Now, what does this refer? What does this mean? Things of the Spirit of God. This refers to what we have been studying all along. Things that can only be assessed, acquired, gained by the Holy Spirit. People, I'm sorry, you can have a great IQ, no Greek, no Hebrew, study, and never see it. These are things that are acquired by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 10. God revealed them through or by means of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11. Only the Holy Spirit knows. Verse 12. We have received the Holy Spirit from God in order that we might know. Verse 13. Things taught by the Holy Spirit who reveals spiritual to spiritual beings. So this whole passage flows with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our dependency on the Holy Spirit. So our passage, verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? For. The Greek particle introduces why he makes a conclusion, a conscious decision not to receive the things of God, which we studied last week. For they are foolishness to him. I think if there is any one statement that describes this true condition of America, it's this one. They are foolishness to him. And we have moved that way by and large throughout this country. That there is a heaven and a hell, and faith in Jesus Christ is the only way of escaping hell and entering into heaven. That's foolishness to most of America today. That God created all things, heaven, earth, mankind, foolishness. Man evolved. That there is one God in three persons, foolishness. That God exists, foolishness. That promiscuity is destructive to the soul, foolishness. That faith in Jesus Christ is the only way of entering into heaven, foolishness. And that's foolishness to a lot of religious people. That faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, is the only way of entering into heaven, foolishness. Got to have works, got to have all these other things. That homosexuality and lesbianism are an abomination, extremely harmful to the soul. Foolishness. We're becoming more and more a dark Sodom and Gomorrah in this country. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, undiminished deity, true humanity. Foolishness. That marriage is between a man and a woman. Foolishness. That a male's body is not made for a male body. A female body is not made for a female body. Foolishness. I am not a mechanic. I'm not a carpenter. But I can tell you what. If you said, Herman, go and get a nut and go and get a screw, I know the difference. I'm not going to bring you two screws or two nuts. We're going to accomplish nothing. That, to me, just doesn't take a whole lot of sense. But in today's world, our judicial system says, no, a nut's for a nut, a screw's for a screw. That's our judicial system. That's their education. That's how they see things. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. It's foolishness. All right, let's see what for foolishness of man starts in our passage. It starts with the gospel. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, 18, the gospel of the cross is foolishness. And this is just This is where we are. And I'm talking about churches as well as a non-religious, non-spiritual, non-Christian world. Yes. Do what now? He did. But in our fall, that's Romans chapter 1. We rejected the truth, and being wise, we became fools. Yeah, in fact, the answer to your question, and that's a very important question. So, Martha, let's look at Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Look back at Romans 1 a moment. Look back at Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You reject the truth, you'll accept the lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So He created them and gave it to them, but they denied it. Okay? All right? Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And what we're looking at is the foolishness in our passage. It starts with the gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. The gospel of the cross is foolishness. Chapter 1, verse 23, Christ crucified is foolishness. Note what God does with the wisdom of the world that concludes all these things. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 coming up, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3, 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. Okay, to man, the wisdom of God is foolishness. To God, the wisdom of man is foolishness. Continuing verse 19, for it is written, He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. So, this is God's view of the wisdom of mankind. So, don't be overimpressed with the wisdom of mankind. Now, we have a problem in this passage. In 1 Corinthians 2:13 or 14, we have a problem. Many people use this verse to support hyper-Calvinism. By that I mean that God determines who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, who will believe, who will not believe, that God supernaturally puts a chip in everybody, that your chip is, read, that you're going to reject Jesus Christ. Puts a chip in this person, you're going to read that Jesus Christ is. It's all determined by God. That it is God, not man, who chooses eternal life. So, we have to take a look at this. So, let's handle that problem. Now, let's look at the verse, see if you see how they would do this. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand. They cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. See, it's the individual. It's not up to the individual. They can't do it. So it's God. God determines who is going to believe, who's not going to believe, who's going to think it's foolishness, who's going to think it's not. People, before I go into the summary here, I don't know why. I do not know why, at 7 years of age, I heard the gospel and believed. I do not know why friends of mine heard the gospel, and did not believe. I am thankful that I did, but I do not know why. But I do know this. It is not God who said, you will believe and you will not believe. What's your view of God? What kind of God do you have that would do that? So, let's solve this little problem. Most commentators, you wouldn't get this, but to me it's important. So let's take a look. One. Point one. First, the unbeliever is the natural man. Psukikos. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. Unable to understand spiritual things, including the gospel, people. So I will give them that much. The unbeliever is a natural man. He is unable to understand the gospel. You and I were unable to understand the gospel. Point two. So God, in His grace, sends the Holy Spirit to convict everyone of the truth of the gospel. So, I'm sorry? Do what? Convict. Convict. The unbeliever cannot understand the gospel. So God, point two, sends the Holy Spirit to convict everyone of the truth of the gospel. Let's look at the Gospel of John 16. Yes. He knows. Yeah, but what they're saying is God chooses. And what we're looking at is, what is the answer to that? What is the answer to God chooses? Because it clearly says the unbeliever cannot grasp the spiritual things. So, we acknowledge that. No unbeliever, none of us, could understand the gospel as unbelievers. Point two. Therefore, God in His grace has given and sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of the gospel. Let's look at John 16. Okay, let me read this and then we'll do that. Okay, verse 16 of, we got the Gospel of John 16, verse 8. 16, verse 8. And when He, this is Christ speaking, and when He, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning the world are unbelievers. Concerning sin, note it's in the singular, because they do not believe in Me. That's the only issue. That's the only sin of any issue. The only unpardonable sin is rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. So that's the sin. Not personal sins, the sin, rejection of Jesus Christ. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold Me. What's going on here is the world thinks that its righteousness is enough. And it will learn that its righteousness is not enough through the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So, what we're having here is the work of the Holy Spirit coming down to this creature, all of us, you and I included, who cannot understand the spiritual. The Holy Spirit convicts us of the spiritual. Now, let's go to point three. Let's go to point three. Point one, the unbeliever is a natural man, psukikos, unable to understand the things including the gospel. Two, God sends the Holy Spirit to convict everyone of the truth of the gospel. This brings us to point three. Point three, it now comes to the individual, every individual, to make a faith decision. God has given to every individual the free will to make a decision of faith, either to believe in Jesus Christ or not believe in Jesus Christ. He does not control that. He has not put a chip in the soul of everyone that will determine all the decisions and things that you make. I had a hyper-Calvinist professor in seminary. He said, even when I sin, it's God. God has led me to sin. And that's a professor in seminary. God has led me to this. God does this. God's in control of everything. That there is no such thing as the free will of man. So, but what kind of love is it? What kind of love is it if it's a controlled and planted love? That's not love. You want someone to make a decision that they love you. Not because you have some magic potion, but because they themselves have decided that they loved you. So God gave to man the free will, convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit, and now comes the point of the battle. Do you believe in Jesus Christ or not? The Holy Spirit makes this, the spiritual issue, the gospel, very clear. But it's up to each individual to decide what he thinks of this Jesus, to believe in Jesus Christ or not. And to many, it becomes foolishness. This is true in an educated world. It's true in a heathenistic world. People are often going, what about the heathens in Africa and all of these kinds of things? People, history is filled with documentation. With documentation that there have been natives who, when someone like Livingston would come through, and they believed in the gospel, they believed in Jesus, they were waiting for him. They were waiting to be told about this Jesus. And a missionary may come back home and said, well, I was a total failure. I'm getting out of the ministry, out of the missionary work. Why? Well, I had only one convert. I went through malaria. I went through lions, snakes, and all of this, mosquitoes, and on and on and on and on, and did this for 5 years, 10 years, and I had one convert. I'm no good. No, that's the faithfulness of God. That's the faithfulness of God. There was one person who needed the gospel. My granddaughter asked a couple of weeks ago, she said, what about the people who never heard? And I told her, I said, okay, let's start. Let me just start with the Texas Aggie. Now, would you build a house and build that house, and build a room into that house that you can't get to? Now, an Aggie might, and she knows all these things, so she kind of like, uh-oh, oh, I'm getting a crutch waved at me. So, God did not build a world that he can't get to. I think that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. That somehow God built a world, and there's going to be somebody, and I just pick it out, Africa, could be India, but somewhere that he can't get the gospel to. It just, well, right now I'm getting ready for our study in Daniel in Romans 5. When we complete Romans 5, I'm going to try to have a chapter a day for a chapter each Sunday in Daniel. Just get through it. Give you a grip. Not a really study of it, but a good grip on the book of Daniel. And in preparation and all, you think of somebody like Jonah. Now think about Jonah. He is probably the most successful evangelist in history. There's probably no man more successful than Jonah. He went up to Nineveh through his own resistance. He didn't want to. But when he finally got there by a submarine ride, he finally got there. Walked through the city responded, and it made him mad. Their greatest success was probably by the man who resented it the most. And yet there have been missionaries who spent 5 or 10 years, had one or two converts, and they were just totally depressed. See, got to deal with the faithfulness of God here, people. But people have this ability to make a decision to believe or not believe. That's what Homo sapien is. That's our decision in our own soul. So they examine the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and make a decision in their own soul and conclude, yes, this is what I want, or this is foolishness. See? So this is what happens inside. And it doesn't depend on age, doesn't depend on education, doesn't depend on race or sex or anything of this issue. It just, the Holy Spirit makes the issue, and a person decides, yes, I believe, no, I do not believe. And it's up to us not to be the judge, but to evangelize. Tell others of Jesus Christ at work, at home. Well, not home, hopefully you're a married believer. But at work, your social life, family, friends, wherever you are. To tell them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it's not up to you to convince them. It's not up to you to argue with them. It's up to you just to give them the gospel. And let the Holy Spirit do His work. And I like the quote by Albert Einstein. Here's what Albert Einstein said. Quote, make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. End quote. Let's apply that to the gospel. Make the gospel as simple as possible, but not simpler. The gospel simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Simpler, you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe anything. There is no heaven, there is no hell, or everyone's going to heaven. See, you don't want to do that. Make the gospel as simple as possible, but not simpler than it is. A lot of people make it more difficult than it is. God made it as simple as He could. Just believe in my Son and you have everlasting life. Religion, man comes along, well, you can lose your salvation, you've got to work for it, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. They've made it more difficult. No, keep it very simple. God kept it simple, but not simpler. A lot of people make it simpler that everyone's going to heaven, there is no heaven and hell, all these kinds of issues. No, you've made it too simple. You made it simpler than it is in the Bible. So let's keep the gospel simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but not simpler than it is. Jesus Christ did not die in vain, people. So the Holy Spirit makes the gospel simple, but many immediately turn to their own wisdom, their own natural wisdom, and decide it's foolishness. And it's amazing what people will believe when they reject the truth. You got all kinds of voodoo worship. You got all kinds of demon worship. All kinds of just everything imaginable. In Africa and Liberia, they will worship Satan at night. These various villages, some worship Satan at night, and then they worship a good demon during the day. But both are demons, and they both come out and they dance around and all this type of thing. It's just amazing what people will believe when you reject the truth. Let's take America. What do you got? You got works. You got all kinds of religious type of works. You've got various types of religions. The Mormonism, Islam, all these things. Just anything other than just simply believe in Jesus Christ. So there's always something for those who reject the truth to hang on to. So the Holy Spirit makes the gospel simple, but many immediately turn to their own wisdom and reject the gospel. That's foolishness. This makes sense. Reincarnate. The gospel is foolishness that God came and died for our sins on the cross, and all we have to do is believe in Him. I don't believe that. You know, I think I'm going to believe that you come back after you die, and how you come back has to do with how you live. So if you live really bad, you come back as a frog or something. See? But if you did really good, you come back as a soaring eagle. I mean, it's just amazing what people will come up with when you reject the truth. It's just totally amazing. And that's what we have going on here. Now, Martha, does all of that kind of help you in understanding the answer? Good. Okay. Now, let's come to point four. This is where our passage takes up now. At this point, we've got those who will reject the truth, calling it foolishness, those who will accept the truth, and are accepted and believe. Now look at verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, revealing spiritual with spiritual beings. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who respond to the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, but a natural man, those who do not respond to the Holy Spirit, and are unbelievers, still natural, not spiritual, not indwelled by the Holy Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The John 16 passage. He started by rejecting the gospel, and now rejects everything spiritual. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised, and in this case he's rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, this is where this passage is dealing with, and where we are in our study. And you take a society where more and more people reject the truth, you're going to have more and more people living under the lie. And that's why you'll notice, and I'm going to continue doing this, you'll have more and more exhortation from this pulpit, do not be alarmed by what's going on in America. Understand what's happening, what is occurring. Do not be alarmed by the rise of homosexuality, making it legal, making it part of our tax structure, all these kinds of things. What's happening in our educational system with evolution, all these things, the rise of the Islamic Muslim mosque, the rise of the Mormon temples, and all these kinds of things. Just know in your mind, this is what happens when more and more people reject the truth. America had a while when a lot of people accepted the truth about, at least about God, and then a multitude about Jesus Christ. And they adhere to it morally in the moral structure of America. But after Darwin, and you could almost do this if you just read and study history, after Charles Darwin's evolution, things just started changing in this country judicially. Things just started changing judicially in this country. Things started changing morally in this country. We're under no moral responsibility to God. We're under no moral responsibility in our actions between each other. But man and a man, a woman and a woman, man and woman, promiscuity. All these kinds of things that are going on. And we're moving now, every now and then you'll get little reports of bestiality coming into play. So, and just so many things are happening. But don't be alarmed by it. Just, okay, this is what's going to happen. Paul had to endure it. I mean, Paul walked down the street and there were all these temples. We get upset with the little things. We're going to be studying Daniel. One of the most interesting things about Daniel, we get all upset about what's happening in our educational system, how our children are taught evolution, all these kinds of things. People, he was put under an intense educational brainwashing. He didn't rebel against it. He stayed true to his God. He learned all of the stuff they wanted him to learn. All four of them did. He and his three friends. Didn't interfere with his relationship with the Lord. We cannot allow it to interfere with our relationship with the Lord. We cannot get all upset. We cannot, oh, this is just terrible. La, 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 la. No. This is what happens when a people become black, dark, and thinking that all is foolishness that's in this book. It comes up to where it's individual. It's not society. We're so geared to society. People, it's not about society. It's about what do you believe? What do you think? How do you live your life? Not about whether or not anyone else is moral, whether anyone else understands homosexuality and lesbianism, and promiscuity, stealing, a bestiality, all these things. It doesn't matter. It's what do you do? What do you believe? What do you live? That's the great battle. It's not about our neighbors anymore. We've been very fortunate in America, but those days are gone. They're gone. Don't try to hold on to them. Don't try to live in that time and get all upset. This is where we are. And when we study Daniel and his three friends, people, they were subjected to the most unbelievable brainwashing. but it did not take them away from their Lord. Did not take them away from Jesus Christ. Did not take them away from the God of Israel. And yet they had to learn. It wasn't a matter of homeschooling. Sir, can we just go over here and homeschool with our Bibles, with our own scrolls? No. You're going to learn this system. We're going to change your name. We're going to change everything about you. We're going to brainwash you. And it didn't work. And it won't work. It won't work on the child who understands the truth. Yes. Absolutely. Yep. Daniel and his three friends attribute to their parents. And we'll get into that a little bit also. And in teaching. What we teach. That's the great issue. Okay. Point five. Point four. This is where our passage comes into play. And we read verses 13 and 14 showing the two different types of people now. Those that reject it, those that accept it. By the way, Mark, did we do okay on the, that you wanted? Okay, on the free will? All right, point five. But again, be warned. Every spiritual being, that is a believer, is like the natural man when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a severe warning. It's a severe warning to the unbelieving world about the psychikos and the pneumatikos. Are you going to be a believer in Christ or not? But for the body of Christ, it's also very important to know that every time we're not in the spirit, people, we are like the natural man. This is what we're like. So therefore, I'm going to include at this point some warnings. Some warnings. Look at Colossians with me. Look at Colossians, chapter 2, it's very interesting, in chapter 2, we have four warnings, that's pretty powerful, you might have one thrown in along the way in a lot of these, but we have four in one short chapter. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. And let's read verses 2 through 4 in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, not material wealth, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom, Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive arguments, not delude you or deceive you. And people, this is what happens in a society like we're going into. It's going to be very difficult for a parent. It's going to be very difficult for a young person to hold on to the truth. We're easily deceived by the world. So, in order that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, it amazes me how some parents will spend so much money for this very, very good private school, private education, but don't care about their church. Well, just go to any church. Go to that church. Let's just go to church. Maybe not even go to church. I'm talking about Christians. But here is the great issue, is the wisdom and knowledge that have bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So, in verse 4, not be deceived or deluded. In verse 8, that you not be taken captive by philosophy. Now, these are the things that Daniel had to encounter. These are the things we're going to have to encounter in our public schools today, and a lot of cases in our churches today. A lot of churches are teaching verse 8, the things that are in verse 8, as truth, like Job's three friends. Point 3, Colossians 2:16. Look at 2:16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or the new moon, or the Sabbath day. Let no one act as your judge on what you believe from the Word of God. And then finally, 4, Colossians 2:18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. That's our word. That's what we're studying in 1 Corinthians 2. That's the natural man, the pneumatikos. No one defraud you. People, I know you understand that when you die, you're going to heaven, but everything's going to be so different there. And we're going to have rewards in heaven, and they're not going to be based on works. They're going to be based on how much time did you log in the power of the Holy Spirit? How much of the knowledge of Jesus Christ did you acquire and believe and live in your life? So look at verse 18 again. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. You're a believer. You have eternal life. You're going to be in the New Jerusalem. But people, there's so much more up there than that. And we allow people to defraud us of our prize in eternal state. All four of these are so easily besiege a believer. We live in a world and are so easily persuaded and influenced by the world because we, by natural desire, we want to get along with the world. We are impressed with the world. All these kinds of things until we think clearly. This is all foolishness. Now, how do we do this? In other words, we've just taken a look at these four things in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. No one may delude you. Verse 8, no one may take you captive by philosophy. No one judge you as to living the spiritual life. No one defraud you of your prize. How do we hold on to the truth? And all these things that are going on in our society today, how do we hold on? Look at Colossians 3. Look at Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, and you have if you believe in Christ, keep seeking the things above, not the things on earth, people. It is amazing how believers become stress, anxiety, depressed, arrogant, happy, deluded by things of this earth, what they have, what they don't have. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Here's the battle. The battle is in the mind, the soul. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. I know so many Christians that would end stress, anxiety, depression. I know so many Christians that would end arrogance and get into the Word of God more if they just followed this. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden. Remember that. It's hidden. It's about you. It's not about society anymore, people. It's not about everyone getting along, believing the spiritual Christian morality in the marriage, Christian morality in young people. It's not about that anymore. It's about you. And the world doesn't care whether you believe in homosexuality or not believe in it, whether you live a life of devotion to one man, one woman in marriage, no promiscuity. The world doesn't care. You're hidden. And don't expect the world to praise you. Don't expect the world to think you're wonderful because you go to Bible church, you study the Bible. They're not. Your life is hidden. Look what it says. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, should be, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So this becomes the great issue of our whole understanding. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now I hope everyone followed what we just went through. We went through difference between a natural man and a spiritual man. And how the natural man does not believe the gospel. It's foolishness to him. In fact, he cannot. Verse 14, he cannot. So God sent the Holy Spirit to convict. Then we have those who will believe, those who will not believe. Then we got to the warning that be warned that even though you may be spiritual, that is a born-again believer, when you're not in the filling of the Spirit, you are carnal, you are like the natural man. Then we looked at some warnings from Colossians 2. Be careful, guard and protect who you are in Christ. Now let's go back to our study, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? They are foolishness to him. Now, one more word on they are foolishness to him. Again, the Greek is the word Maria, where we get the word moron, foolish, folly, absurdity. And remember, people, there's just so much I'm trying to put together here. We've studied the warnings and all. Why is it that it's foolishness to the natural man? Well, let's think for a moment. Think. You know what that word means? Think. Let's think about this. Look at the structure of the natural man. Look at what he is. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 with me. Where in the world is Ecclesiastes? Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. If you don't know where it is, look at the table of content. That's why the table of content is there. If you can find Psalms, you can find Ecclesiastes. It's shortly after Proverbs. Okay. Ecclesiastes 9. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts, okay, that's our who and what we are, the soul, of the sons of men are full of evil and insanity. Do you understand that? That's what we are in our natural person. When we're not filled with the Spirit, we are full of evil and insane. Is in their hearts. Insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterward, they go to the dead. Now look at that word insanity. What's an insane person? A sane person is divorced from reality. Divorced from reality. Reality is God. Reality is God's plan, God's gospel. That's reality. Therefore, the natural man cannot. I'm just showing you why it says he cannot do it. Doesn't have the ability. He is insane. And that's all there is to it. That's our makeup. We are insane. And therefore, everything is foolishness. Look at Jeremiah. You can find Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 9. Who and what we are in the flesh. And I'm talking about us now when we are not in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we give over to our flesh nature, here's what we are. Jeremiah 9, 9, the heart, that's the soul, that's who and what we are, is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. The Hebrew says, incurably sick. Who can understand it? Don't try to understand the thinking of man. Jeremiah 9:9? Well, let me see. All right, I'll have to get the correct. In my Bible, I have it in the train of it. But let me just look one thing here real quickly. No, I got it right here, yeah. 9:6. Is to know me, declares the Lord. 17:9? Alright, let's look at Jeremiah 17:9. How about that? Yeah. Alright, Jeremiah 17:9. How about that? Okay. All right. The heart is more deceitful than all else. By the way, the being deceitful, that's why we're easily persuaded by philosophy and all. And is desperately sick or incurably sick. Who can understand it? So don't try to understand the world today. Don't try to understand. Don't even try to understand. And I'm going to get right to it. Don't even try to understand Obama. Don't try to understand the Democrats the way they think. Because people, it comes down to your view of man. And to them, man is an evolutionary product. And as an evolutionary product, it's like a dog, needs to be taken care of. And we are superior, we can take care of everyone. Don't try to understand. Don't understand the thinking of man. Once you reject the truth, you'll believe a lie. And lie, built on lie, built on lie. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, not the spiritual, does not accept things of the Spirit of God. Why not? They are foolishness to him. Now note the next phrase. And he himself cannot understand them. Now here we have another reality about the flesh nature. Cannot. See that word cannot? That is the Greek word dunamai, where we get dynamite. It can be translated power. It can be translated ability, capable. Plus the negative, not capable. Just stop right there. It's not even capable of understanding the spiritual things. When the unbeliever comes to this book, I don't care how brilliant he is, or when a believer out of the filling of the Spirit, don't care how brilliant they are, he's not going to see what God is doing. He cannot. That's what I want you to understand. Inability. You have no problem in understanding if I say the statement, don't try this summer to drive your automobile across the lake. It won't work. It cannot do it. Well, I saw an automobile that can do that. That's not yours. Don't try to drive your automobile across the lake. It cannot do it. Okay? Do not think an unbeliever, a natural man, can understand the things of God. He cannot. This is very adamant. Dunamai, present active, present middle indicative of dunamai. Not capable. Never before in history has men been so dependent on power than we are today. I mean, we can go to the moon, we can go into space, we got so many nuclear energy, all these energies that we have today, so many systems of power. You'd think people would get it, but they don't. They still think they have the power to impress God. They have the power to do something for God. People, we are divorced of power. We do not have the power to even understand this book. We do not have the power to understand the truths that are in this book. We do not have the power to do something for God. We are totally dependent upon the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus Christ, as God the Father, to send each one of us. It's right there inside of you. The most unbelievable power on planet Earth is inside of you. It is far greater than nuclear power, than physical power, all power systems. The greater ones are right inside of you. Most believers never tap into it. Never tap into it. They try to use their own power to understand the Word of God, to try to do things for God, to be something for God. It simply isn't going to work. We do not have that ability, people. This is a power system that is given to us. We do not have the power, the ability to do anything meritorious before God. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to grasp the gospel, John 16. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to live the spiritual life, Galatians 5. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to overcome the world. Let's close by looking at 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'll close with this. First John 4, verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, namely Satan. So, people, we have this great power inside of us. Utilize it. How do we utilize it? Simply by faith. It costs nothing. And yet, if you tap into this power, you can understand the Word of God. You can glorify Christ in your life. You can ward off those dangers that Paul talked about in Colossians 2. Do not be deceived or deluded. All these wonderful things can happen by this power system that God has supernaturally put inside of every one of us. Power system of the Holy Spirit. Don't make Him something He's not, but don't make Him less than He is. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God You are, Heavenly Father, that You understand our carnal state. You understand our state as a result of our sin. And Heavenly Father, You in turn have sent us Your Spirit to convict us of the truth of the gospel. And if we respond to that gospel, Heavenly Father, by believing in Jesus Christ, we have that same Spirit to understand this book, Your wisdom. Father, I pray You'll take the things we've seen this morning, cause them to motivate us to keep our eyes focused on Him who is above, not on the things of this earth. We can enjoy them, have fun in them, if we have them, but if we don't, that's fine. If we do, that's fine. But what really is important is keeping our eyes stayed on You and on Your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.